Well, good evening, everyone. It is great to be back with you. What a wonderful two testimonies that we got to hear, right? The last one that that we all heard was a gentleman by the name Greg, and he said, "I was living a life of lie." And what is the opposite of lie? Truth. And so today we are going to talk about that which is true and without error. And it also starts a new unit for us. And we're going to talk about the Bible in this particular unit. In the last unit, we spoke about God, and we learned about God. And tonight, we begin a new unit that we will talk about the Bible. Now, how do we know something is true? What are some ways in which we can know that something is true? Well, some people have said, maths is one kind of knowledge. So 2 plus 2 is 4. 4, right? And we can see how that is applicable. If we have two hats, for example, Josiah, and I give you two hats, how many hats do you have? Four hats, right? That's good. Guys, I want you to listen carefully, and I don't want you to talk over me, so that you can hear what we need to hear from God's word today. Okay, then there is another kind of knowledge called science, in which we ask questions, and then we have an hypothesis, we make a prediction, we test that prediction, we analyze data, and then we draw a conclusion, and then we see what the results are. That's science. There's another kind of knowledge that says eyewitness testimony. For those of you who have siblings at home, if something falls down or breaks in the house and you have seen who did that, I am assuming that you did not do it, but let's say a sibling that you saw did it, a sibling that you know did it, and your dad or your mom calls you and says, "Who broke this?" And you say, "Well, so-and-so broke it." How do you know? "Well, I saw her do it." What is that called? What kind of a knowledge is that called? Lecre?
Truth.
Well, yes, that's true.
Witnessing,
right? You have someone who has witnessed what happened, and then they are sharing the truth. Then there's another kind of knowledge that someone tells you, and then you know what it is. And that kind of knowledge is called revelation. And the Bible is that kind of knowledge. It is God revealing himself, showing himself, Brian, to us. That means God reveals himself to us through his words. That's what the Bible is. If you have your Bible, I want you to have it in front of you because we're going to look at a few verses. You know, God has revealed himself through his word, and his word is a reflection of his character. What do I mean by that? What are some things that we learned in the last unit about God? Henry, what did we learn about God in the last unit? Tell me some things we learned about God in the last unit. Yes?
That
he's the creator. Did you say the creator?
Yeah. Yeah.
He has created. Jack?
He is love.
He is love. Nathaniel? He is holy. Egan?
Just.
He is just. Is there any other thing that we learn? Yes. Yeah.
He is.
You say from everlasting to everlasting, he is God. What is that? He is eternal. And so those are things that we have learned about God. And so when I say the Bible is a revelation, which is a reflection of his character, all those things that who God is reflected in his word. So the Bible is God's word, and what it says, God says. What the Bible says, God says, and it is true and without error. You know, in the last little over 500 years since printing press was discovered or invented, some might say, The Bible has been the most printed book in the world. But the Bible also has been the most attacked book in the world. There are places where you cannot take the Bible. If you were to go into some Middle Eastern countries, you cannot take the Bible there. But even in our country, in the US, the Bible is the most attacked book in this country. Why do you think it is attacked so much? Yes, Ryan.
Because people are unbelievers and they don't like it and they want to...
Okay.
Like, so they might... The Bible. They don't like the Jews.
They don't like what is mentioned in the Bible? Yeah.
They don't like God's rules.
They don't like God's rules. Yes.
They don't believe it is true. They want to forbid people.
Yeah, they don't believe it's true. Yes. Yeah. They don't want people to become believers.
Because it goes against what they like.
Yeah, it goes against what they like. You know, it tells us, the Bible tells us how we can be saved. And it tells us who the true authority is. Who is it, Austin?
God.
God. God is the true authority. And people don't like any authority over them. In fact, Jesus was talking to this teacher in Israel, and he said to him, you know, the reason people don't want to believe in God is because their deeds are evil and they like to remain in darkness. So when the light of God's word comes to them, they don't want to believe it. They want to do what they want to do, Adam, right? They don't want to believe God's word because it tells them what is the right thing to do. And so today we are going to learn about what the Bible is. But before we go there, I'm going to summarize a lesson for us, and it is this. We have learned this in the last unit. God is holy, true, sinless, and he never lies. The Bible is his word, and so the Bible is true and without error. Therefore, we must believe it. That is how we will progress as we look at our lesson tonight. Well, what is the theme verse? What is the memory verse for this week? Yes, go ahead. That's excellent. The entirety or the sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. Everything that is mentioned in God's word is true. You might say, well, what about this thing? Well, everything. What does that cover? Everything, right? It covers everything. And then it says, every one of your righteous rules endures forever. Your word is established in the heavens, and it's there forever. You know, there are so many books, they'll tell you, do this one day, and then if that doesn't work, do this the other day. But that's not how God's word is. It is that his righteous rules endures forever. What I want to do is I just want to share with you two things. And I want you to remember those two things. And I've mentioned those even on the board here. The first thing is that the Bible is God's word. The Bible is God's word. If you remember that, I would think that it's a good night. And the second thing is the Bible is true and without error. Those are the only two things you need to remember. And then we'll look at what does that mean in our daily life. So first of all, the Bible is God's word. We will begin with looking at its author. Who is the author of the Bible? But who wrote the Bible? Henry.
God.
Yeah, God. We have been talking about the fact that it is God's word. All of the Bible is God's word. You know, Paul wrote to Timothy. Paul was one of the apostles, and he wrote to Timothy, his disciple, and he said, all scripture is breathed out by God. Now, if he says all scripture, what does that leave out?
Nothing.
Nothing. That means all of scripture is God's word. Secondly, its authorship. And this is where, what's your name? Declan? What he's saying is also true. What we call as dual authorship. How was it written? Well, in 2 Peter 1:21, for those of you who have done gold verses this week, One of the verses is, "For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men of God spoke as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." It is as if it's just any other human being that God had chosen and through whom God chose to write his words. And so that's why some theologians call it dual authorship. But actually, it's the Holy Spirit that is inspired. So that is inspiring the writer to write what he wants to have in the Bible. Thirdly, it's authority. You know, the Bible speaks with authority. You know, I've been to many different schools. I've been sitting under many different teachers. And you know, the worst kind of teacher is one who says, "I don't know. I don't know what that is really saying. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know." But you know, in this I don't knows, God speaks with, "This is what you need to do." You know, Jesus, when he began his ministry, at the beginning of his ministry, in chapter 4 of Matthew, it says he was tempted. And he was hungry for 40 days. And so Satan comes to him and he tempts him. And he says, "If you're really the Son of God, you know, have these stones be turned into bread." And what does Jesus say to Satan? Well, that's the other temptation. But what does he say for this one? Yes?
"Man does not live off bread alone, but on the word of God."
Yeah, yeah. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Mm-hmm. In other words, prioritize spiritual life over physical life. That is how we can truly live. But what else can we say about the Bible? Its ability. Its ability, which is that it's powerful and effective. Now, I've given some post-it notes to some of you. If you have number 1 on it, I want you to read that. Is it you, Henry?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead and read it. And I've asked Henry to read Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And I want us to see the power and the effect of the Bible. What does it do? It exposes something. Go ahead and read. I want you to listen so you can answer questions later on.
"For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, even penetrating as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart."
Yeah. What does the Bible do? It exposes our thoughts and the intentions of our heart. It is powerful. You take the Bible, James, one of the authors of one of the books of the Bible, he says the Bible is like a mirror. And if a donkey looks in the mirror, what does the donkey see? A donkey, right? If a sinner looks into the mirror of God's word, what does the sinner see, Austin? A sinner. So the Bible is like that. It exposes who we truly are. It exposes our sin. But secondly, who has number 2? Yeah, go ahead. And he's going to read Acts 2:37. It does something. It convicts. What does it convict us of?
"Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brethren, what shall we do?'"
Yeah, "Brothers, what shall we do?" So this is a group of people, and Peter has just preached a sermon, and he has loaded his arguments one on top of the other. And at the end of listening to that sermon, these people are just troubled in their hearts. They know they're in trouble, so they say to Peter, what must we do to be saved? And Peter says to them, "Repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized." And so what does God's word do? It convicts us. Who has number 3? Zachary, you have 3? Yeah, go ahead. Romans 10:17, right? Whoever has the other numbers, be ready with your text so we can We can read it quickly. You got it? It's after John. Let him take his time. I appreciate you all waiting patiently. That's how God has been with us, right? Patient. Okay, you have it, Zachary? 10:17. You're almost there. Good. All right, read it loudly for us. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the words of Christ. Thirdly, what does God's word do? It leads us to salvation. You know, Paul writing to Timothy, he says, how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings. You know, one of the great things about all of you being here, and most of you being a part of this church, is how much you are exposed to God's word. Don't take it lightly. Don't take it lightly when anyone speaks to you about God's word. Because that's the best thing about being in a church where we can learn and sit under God's word. So it leads us to salvation. But then it does something else. Who has the next one? What was your number, Zachary? Was it 3?
I'm 4.
Yeah, 4. Austin, go ahead and read for us Romans 12, 2.
And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ.
That's wonderful. I think that's connected with the previous verse. But who has the next verse? Austin, thank you for reading. Yes, go ahead and read the next one. Is it Romans 12, 2?
Yeah.
Okay.
The renewing of your mind, so that you may prove that the will of God is perfect, is good, and is acceptable and perfect.
Fourthly, what does the Bible do? It transforms us. It changes us. You know, there's a lot of books in the Bible. There's 66 books in the Bible. The Bible was not given to inform us, to fill our heads with knowledge. Yes, it's a good thing to fill our heads with God's word, but it was given to us to change us, to transform us. Fifthly, it equips us for something. Who has the next one? Yes, go ahead.
All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable in teaching and reproving. For training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work.
Yeah, all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Why? So that the man of God, who's sitting here, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So what does the Bible do? It equips us. But sixthly, it provides us something. Who has the next one? You have it, Andrew? Go ahead and read it for us. Yeah, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. It makes us wise. It gives us wisdom. What does God's word do? It provides us with wisdom and direction. Who has the next verse? Yes, go ahead.
This is my comfort and my affliction, that your word has received me.
Yeah, this is my comfort and my affliction, that your promises gives me life. What does God's word do? It brings comfort and it brings hope. We have two more. Who's next? Asha, you have it?
The unfolding of your words gives life. It imparts understanding to the simple.
The unfolding of your word gives light. What does God's word do? It reveals us who He is and His will. And then finally, who do we have? James?
So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I
Excellent. What does God's word do? Once it proceeds out of his mouth, what this verse is saying is that it will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. What is that purpose, Adam? I need you to pay attention. What is that purpose? Whatever God's purpose is, when God speaks it, it will get accomplished. Why? Because God has spoken it. And so the first thing we want to remember is that the Bible is God's word. Secondly, and finally, the Bible is true and without error. Now, before we understand what that means, we need to understand what truth is and what error is. What is truth? What is true? Caleb, you know what's true?
Something that is certain and will always be right.
Something that is certain. Okay, Ryan?
Something that is not lying.
Something that is opposite of lying. Here's one way to define it. That which corresponds to reality. So if I say Declan is sitting on this chair, Declan is truly sitting on this chair. It's not Henry who is sitting on this chair. How do we know? Because that's what is corresponding to reality. That's how we know what is true. And God's word teaches that there is such a thing as truth. You know, Caleb, Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, everywhere outside of this, people are saying, there's no such a thing as truth. You know, I have my truth and you have your truth. And the reason they're saying is the reasons that we talked about earlier. They want to do what they want to do. They don't want to come under God's authority. But God's word says, no, it is true. But what does it mean without error? Nathaniel? I have it there, so you can read it. There's nothing wrong with it. There is no error. So with that as a background, let's look at a few things in the few minutes that we have. First of all, how do we know that the Bible is true and without error? Well, first of all, the Bible claims to be true and without error. You know, Psalm 119 verse 60, our memory verse for this week. Who has it down? Adam, do you have it down? Go ahead.
The sum of the word is truth.
The sum of your word is truth.
And every one of your righteous rules endure forever.
Yeah, every one of your righteous rules endures forever. You know, there is a chapter mentioned in the Gospel of John. And in that chapter, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, is praying. And he says this for his disciples. If you're a follower of Christ, this is his prayer for you. He says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is true, or truth, right? God's word is true because it claims to be true. But secondly, the Bible's author shows us that the Bible is true and without error. You know, we learned so many attributes about God when we met last time. And in the last unit, you mentioned about some attributes. He is the creator. He is holy. He is just. He is eternal. He is love. Numbers 23:19. Those of you who have done the gold verses this week, anyone know that? Numbers 23:19. Ashray? God is...
Has he said, and will not do it,
or has he spoken, and will not fulfill it? Yeah, God, in other words, God never lies. You know, Hebrews 6:18 says, it's impossible for God to lie. Titus 1:2 says, God never lies. In other words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. God never lies. So we can say the Bible is true and without error because of who the author of Bible is. It is God himself. Thirdly, the Bible's unity and consistency. You guys, you don't have to remember all of these subpoints. The only two things I want you to remember is what I've placed here. But what does unity and consistency talk about? Well, here's the thing. The first book in the Bible is written somewhere around 1400 BC. And the last book in the Bible, and which is the last book in the Bible? James?
Revelation.
It's written somewhere around 95 to 100 AD. And so there's an age difference. There's a period of almost 1500 years. There's more than 40 human authors who have written it. And there has always been one goal, one thing that goes through all of those books. You know, one of the ways Pastor Tom likes to describe it, and I love it, is that God is redeeming his people through his Son for his glory. That's a summation of what the Bible is doing. And all of the books in the Bible, the 66 books, have the same theme and the message. Not only that, it's historical and archaeological evidence. You know, every time someone says, well, that couldn't be true because we don't have any proof for it. And then a few years later on, we find something through archaeology that tells us, well, actually what the Bible was speaking is true. In fact, the greatest discovery, and I have a few minutes, I don't want to go over time there, Cameron, but, you know, about 50, 60 years back, there was a boy, just like your age, and he was tending to goats and sheep, and one of his goats got lost. And so he kept searching for it, couldn't find it. I want you to listen carefully, Adam, because I'm going to ask you a question. And he kept looking for it, he couldn't find it. And then there was this cave that where his sheep were. And so he thought maybe one of the sheep or the goat went inside the cave. So he took a stone and he threw the stone in the cave. And you know, it made a big noise. And he was curious, why did it make a big noise? And so he went into the cave. And you know what he discovered there? He discovered a number of scrolls, like manuscripts. And those manuscripts told us that everything that is written in the Old Testament is true. And in fact, this was just 150 years after the last book in the Bible was written. And so every discovery that comes out, it just affirms that the Bible is true. So what you have in your hands is the truth, and it is without error. Let me mention one more thing before we close, the Bible's prophecy. You know, more than 25% of the Bible is written in a way that tells us that it's prophecy. Someone has counted. I have not done the counting, but I trust their counting. There's about 700 prophecies, out of which 350 prophecies have already come true. So, Silas, will the other 350 also come true on the basis of what has come true already? Yeah. Where would Jesus be born? What kind of a mother would Jesus have, that she would be a virgin? What kind of a genealogy would Jesus come through? All of those things have already come through and come true. So we can trust the Bible. But you know, there's one more prophecy that the Bible talks about. Jesus ascended after he rose from the dead, and the Bible says that he's going to come again. In fact, in Hebrews 9:27, it says, we all have only one life, and after that, there is judgment. That means if we were to die without Christ, then we will face his judgment. But we don't have to face his judgment, because God is also a gracious God. And in his grace, he sent his Son for us so that we may come to know him as our Lord and Savior. Now, considering all of those things that have come true, what this prophecy is saying will also come true. So here's the thing I want you to take away. The Bible is God's word, and the Bible is true and without error, and everything it says will come true. So I want you to think, do I really know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, or do I not know him? If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. I would be happy for your parents to answer them. But let me close with this. What are three things that we can take away from our time together? First of all, know what the Bible says. And how can you know, Declan, what the Bible says? Yeah, you can read it. Read it. Study it. You know, there's someone here, I'm not going to mention them. His grandfather was an elder in our church, and he would say to his children, no Bible, no breakfast. I thought, well, that's a good rule to follow. It's not, you're not going to die if you don't eat one meal. But that's how hungry you want to be for God's word. So first of all, know what the Bible says. Secondly, believe what the Bible says. Trust it. Lean on it. Depend on it. That is, act as if it is true. Don't wait to say, oh, well, when I truly understand what that particular word means, that's when I'm going to do it. No. Just do it, and your understanding will follow. That doesn't mean that you should not seek to understand, but learn to obey it, believe it. Thirdly and finally, do what the Bible says. Act on it. Obey it. Follow it. Anyone here knows Nike? You know Nike?
Yeah.
What does Nike say?
Just do it.
Just do what the Bible says. The Bible is God's word, and it is true and without error. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time together. I thank you for all these individuals, all these men who have been created in your image. Lord, it's your desire that all of us would come to know you as our Lord and Savior. We are thankful for the word that you've given us. Help us to know your word. Help us to believe your word. Help us to act according to your word, to do what it says. Help us to be doers of your word and not hearers only. Because when we just hear and let it go, we deceive ourselves. We pray that every one of us here would be known, not only to others, but to ourselves and to you as one who does according to your word. I commit our time in the small groups into your hands. We ask these things in Christ's precious and worthy name. Amen.